Amen. I invite you to please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. A few weeks ago, we started a series called Let Us Pray. And we've been examining how the Scripture teaches us to pray. We spent several weeks in the book of Luke, chapter 11 specifically, and we have learned that Jesus teaches us to pray dependently, that we are relying upon God for all things in life. Jesus also teaches us to pray persistently. We are to keep coming back to the Father, lifting up the requests of our hearts and making our petitions known to Him. And this morning, we're going to continue looking at how the Scripture teaches us to pray from Paul's instructions in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. I want you to suppose with me that next year we all have the intention of attending the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting in Nashville. And so while we're there on one of the nights of the convention, let's say from 5 to 6 p.m., there are some options that we have. You can go to one part of the convention center and you can hear a sermon exposited by, let's say, a well-known teacher, Dr. David Jeremiah. How many of you know him? He's just a great preacher. He's got that preacher's voice. You know, us preachers, when we hear someone like him or Adrian Rogers teach, you're like, man, there's just something about their voices. God bless them in such a unique way. So you have this option to hear a sermon by David Jeremiah, or let's say at the same time, there's also going to be a worship service. And Chris Tomlin's going to be leading. How many of you know Chris Tomlin? You know his music, got some great music. And then let's say at the same time, you can also choose to go to a prayer service. And let's say somebody that in our convention who's known for leading prayer, let's say Dr. Ronnie Floyd is going to be leading that prayer service. Now, I don't actually know what would happen, but I suspect the overwhelming majority of us and all other people who were going to be at the convention, they're going to say, hey, sign me up for David Jeremiah's sermon, or man, I would love to go and just be in a part of a worship service led by Chris Tomlin. And I suspect that for most of us, the prayer meeting is not going to be very high on our priority list, because we're thinking, man, a whole hour of prayer. Who can do that? That's intimidating to think about praying for a whole hour. Let's just be honest. For most of us, when we think about prayer in that kind of a context, it's just not that appealing. If praying for a whole hour seems intimidating to us, or maybe not even appealing to our hearts, what would you say this morning if I told you that the Bible actually teaches us that we are to pray without ceasing? That's actually one of the instructions that Paul gives to the Thessalonian church. He instructs them to pray without ceasing. Scripture teaches us, in other words, to pray constantly. Now, I want to answer three questions with regard to this instruction we see in chapter 5, verse 17, where Paul says, pray without ceasing. Number one, what does it mean to pray constantly? Number two, why is it important? Why is it significant to pray constantly? And then last of all, I want to conclude with answering this question. How can we learn to pray constantly? What will that look like for us to become people who actually embody this command in our lives? Now, so we understand the context in which Paul is giving us this instruction. Let's start in verse 12, our reading, and then we'll conclude in verse 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, Paul says, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Let's pray. Father, we're asking you this morning to take this command that Paul gives, to pray without ceasing, to pray constantly, and to help us to understand what it means, to help us to understand why it's important, and help us understand how we can become Christians who live this out in our daily lives. We ask for the Holy Spirit to work on all of our hearts. God, we pray that you'll bind the enemy. We know that he is the one who tries to steal the word of God from the hearts of those who hear it. And we're asking this morning that you'll protect our church, that you'll protect every person here from the spiritual warfare that Satan wants to wage. God, we ask for your blessing on this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Scripture commands us to pray constantly. The first question we want to answer based on this text is, what does it mean to pray constantly? Paul's command in the original language here in verse 17 actually consists of two words. There's an imperative, which is to pray, and then there is an adverb, which tells us how to do it. Now, the imperative that Paul uses, it comes from a verb, which is just a general word for prayer. It's just a word which means to go to God with our requests. We are to petition God with our needs. It refers to just a person speaking to God in conversation. The adverb that Paul uses here comes from a word which means, which can be translated as constantly, unceasingly, or continuously. Translations render it in different ways. The New American Standard translates it without ceasing. The Christian Standard Version translates it as pray constantly. And then the NIV translates it as pray continually. All of those words have just a fairly similar meaning. So let me help everyone right now breathe a sigh of relief when Paul says pray constantly or unceasingly. He's not telling us in this passage that Christians are always to be uttering words from their mouth to God at every minute of every hour of every day. Paul's not telling us that from the moment of when we wake up and we have this moment of consciousness in the morning till the time we go to bed, that we're always to be verbalizing something to the Lord in prayer. I mean, you think about how impossible that would be. Could you imagine me getting up in the morning? And after I've been up, my wife then gets up and she starts to talk to me and I give her the hand. Honey, you can't talk. God and I have a conversation going on. And then later on, she says, sweetheart, honey, I'm still talking to God. I'm praying constantly. We can't talk right now. See, that would pretty much make relationships impossible in this life. That would make it hard to ever focus on our work or to get other tasks done throughout the day. Paul is not telling us when he says pray constantly that we're always to be verbalizing, uttering something to God. Instead, what this command tells us, as Leon Morris, a noted New Testament scholar, explains, is that it's possible and it's necessary that we should always be living in a spirit of prayer. From the start of our day, throughout our day, till the end of the day, all of us as Christians should be able to say that my day was characterized by prayer. When Paul says pray constantly, get this in your mind. Paul is saying pray frequently. Have an ongoing conversation with God. There should be repeated times of prayer throughout your day, throughout my day. We should be praying in a frequent way. Maybe this illustration will help shed some light on what Paul is saying. Some mornings after I have gotten up and I've spent time with the Lord and I've said goodbye to Mel and the kids, you know, I get in that zone because I've got so many things to do. So I get in the office and I'm working on one thing, then I transition to something else, then I transition to something else. Well, throughout the day sometimes, Mel will send me text messages, and she'll send me pictures of things that have gone on with the kids, or she'll send me little messages that she wants to share with me just to touch base. And, you know, I've gotten in that frame of mind some days that by the time I get home in the evening, I did not respond to her. And so when I walk in the house, Mel asks me the question. She's like, sweetheart, I haven't heard from you since this morning. Did you not get my messages? And I'm like, sweetheart, I saw that they came in, but I was so busy that I didn't take time to respond. What Melody wanted me to do through those text messages was to keep a conversation going with her throughout the day. She wanted me to touch in, to reconnect, so that we just didn't have this one time of conversation early in the morning. She wanted there to be other important points of contact throughout the rest of the day. Think of it in that way when Paul says pray constantly. God doesn't want us to start our day to talk with him at one point, never to come back to another conversation with him. How many of you still have a home phone? You grew up with a phone in your home. How many of you grew up with a phone? Well, I grew up with a house phone. And I remember, you know, we were to never leave the phone off the hook. You know, we put it on the hook. Well, this is basically what Paul is saying. When it comes to our prayer lives, we should never put the phone on the hook, so to speak. We should never hang up on God after we've prayed at some point as if the conversation is over. Those of us who have cell phones, we should never really hit the end button as if, okay, God, I'm through for now, and I'll come back at some point. In other words, we need to leave the phone off the hook. We need to leave it on the talk mode. Sometimes I'm talking with my cousin who is a student pastor in Tennessee, and after we finish talking, he will not hang up the phone. You ever had somebody do that to you and you can kind of just hear everything that's continuing on the other end? Think of praying constantly in that way. God wants us to leave the phone off the hook so that we're having an ongoing conversation with him throughout our day. God desires to fellowship with us. He desires to communicate with us in an ongoing fashion. There should not just be that one time where we speak to him and he does not hear from us throughout the rest of a day. We leave the prayer line open from start to end of the day. That includes long prayers. That includes short prayers. That includes planned prayers. That includes spontaneous prayers. That includes prayers of petition and prayers of intercession and prayers of praise and prayers of thanksgiving, all kinds of prayers just to maintain an ongoing conversation with God. If someone were able to see a record of our prayers, I know that you can look online at your cell phone bill, and you can see all of the calls that you've made. And you can see whether a person's talked to someone regularly throughout a day. If someone were to look at your prayer record, would they see just one call to God at the beginning of a day or at the end of the day? Or would they say, man, look at all these points of contact early in the morning, mid-morning, afternoon, mid-afternoon, in the evening. Man, this person has dialed up God all throughout his or her day. That's what Paul's talking about when he says to pray constantly, to have this spirit of prayer. We are a people who are frequently going to God to talk to him. That's what it means to pray constantly. Now, why is it important to pray constantly? The context of this brief command that Paul gives us sheds some light on why this is significant. If you're starting to think, well, you know, there are so many other commands in the Christian life that I need to give more attention to, and, you know, this really isn't a big deal after all. It's only two words, Pastor, you've told me in the original language, so I'm going to focus on other things, and probably I'm just going to push this to the side. I want to tell you to hit the brakes on that. Don't think that way right now, because the context of this passage actually tells us that this is something we need to take very seriously as Christians. In this passage, Paul, in the surrounding verses, he's dealing with personal instructions that he gives to church members, the church of Thessalonica, that concern their conduct and interaction with one another. He's giving them specific commandments on their attitude and their actions that they are to have as a church family towards each other. You can see starting out in verse 12, he's talking about their relationships with church leadership. Then he goes on to talk about just their relationships with others in the church. And sandwiched in between these commands, verses 12 through 15, and then verses 19 through 22, we have three commands in the middle, verses 16, 17, and 18. Paul tells us to that we are to be joyful, we're to rejoice always. He tells us we're to be prayerful, to pray without ceasing, and we're to be thankful. He says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, while it's true that these actions in verses 16 through 18 have outward manifestations of joy and prayer and thankfulness, it's equally true that these commandments here deal with the believer's inner life. These are commandments that are specifically directed toward God, the Christian's responsibility in their relationship toward our Heavenly Father. It seems then, when we consider that truth, how these verses connect to the rest of these verses, here's what I want you to take away from this. We won't be able to rightly relate to each other, verses 12 through 15 and verses 19 through 22, if we're not taking seriously verses 16 through 18. See, Paul is, as one commentator puts it, compliance with these social regulations, it's impossible to do that apart from personal communion with God. In other words, if we're not inwardly right with God and drawing our strength from God as we're supposed to in verses 16 through 18, as that instructs us, we will not treat each other the way we should treat each other. Christians who rejoice in their relationship with Jesus Christ and are drawing strength from Him, Christians who are communing with God through prayer, and Christians who are recognizing the sovereignty of God in all of life's circumstances and are therefore grateful in everything through Christ Jesus, they then are going to be the people who we see in verses 12 and 13 who can honor and follow church leadership. In verse 13, we'll be able to live at peace with one another. We'll be able to admonish those who are outside of the will of God and encourage those who are faint-hearted. Those who are weak, we'll be able to strengthen them. Those who need patience, we'll be able to show them patience. We won't return evil for evil, but we'll seek after that which is good towards one another. Verses 19 through 22, we'll be able to discern the movement of the Spirit so that we don't quench the Spirit in the outworkings of other people's lives. Spending time in constant prayer is important because we're not going to be able to fulfill these commands faithfully if we're not communing with God as He commands us to. And then I want you to notice something else just within verses 16 through 18. We're not going to be able to rejoice in our relationship with Jesus Christ, nor are we going to be able to be thankful if we're not being prayerful. So being prayerful constantly influences the outcome, the outworkings, the attitude and actions that are associated with all of these other commands. Listen, it is true for all of us. You want to see us treat each other the way that we shouldn't be treating each other? It's if we neglect being a people who are praying constantly, a people who are rejoicing in the Lord always, a people who are being thankful in everything. Constant prayer, it cultivates greater and greater intimacy with God. So let me ask you two questions on this, dealing with this part of the sermon. Why is it significant to pray constantly? One, does your relationship to God matter? And then two, do your relationships to each other in this church matter? If the answer to both of those questions is yes, then you and I have to be believers who are committed to learning to pray constantly, to having this spirit of prayerfulness throughout the whole of our days, so that we can be as close to God as God desires, and so that we can be as close to each other as God desires for us. So what does it mean to pray constantly? It means that we pray frequently in an ongoing way. We don't hang up on God at some point during the day. We keep the conversation going. Why is it important to pray constantly? Because if we're not rightly related to God, we will not be rightly related to one another. And then last of all, I want to answer this question this morning. How can we learn to pray constantly? See, Paul gives us this command: pray without ceasing, pray continually, pray constantly. But he doesn't answer exactly how to get there in life, how we can become that kind of a man or woman of God who prays in this way. So I want to give you some practical points this morning that you can start applying in your life so that you can hopefully become this kind of praying man or praying woman. Number one, if you want to become someone who prays constantly, you must begin somewhere. Establish a set prayer time in your day. Establish a set prayer time in your day. You and I will never become Christians who pray constantly if we never pray. It's just like when I started out riding a bicycle. I had to start out with training wheels. I was not going to get on a bike and just be able to ride freely. I had to start somewhere. All of us have to accept the fact that we're going to have to start somewhere. And so all of us need to establish a time that works best for you. For me, it's early in the mornings. I get up before Mel and the rest of the boys, or before Titus and Truett are up, and I just want to spend time in darkness, having a conversation with God, drinking my coffee, and then I spend time in His Word. If that's a struggle for you right now, let me just encourage you, start with baby steps. If you could start out 10 minutes of your day in prayer, 10 minutes of your day reading the Bible, and we have Bible reading plan that'll help you on our website, that is a big win. I will celebrate that with you if you don't have that yet established in your life. That will be a good starting point to help you becoming someone who eventually is going to be a Christian who is praying constantly. So establish a set prayer time. Number two, this may seem a little odd, but it just makes sense. Pray about praying constantly. God wants us to bring every need before Him. He knows our every need before we even ask it. And it makes sense if we're struggling with obeying a certain command that He gives us that we pray about that command. So we want to ask God, God, I need to become a person who learns how to make prayer a part of the whole of my day. I'm not there right now. So I really want to bring this before you, and as we've already learned from Luke 11, we're going to keep bringing this before God, and that set prayer time you have. God, help me to start taking baby steps to get here, to praying in an unceasing way throughout the day. So pray about praying constantly. Number three, schedule times of prayer throughout your day. We all have key stages in our day. You think about it. There's a time when we all wake up. There's a time when we eat breakfast. There's a time when we go to work. There's a time when we eat lunch. Maybe a time when we go to the gym. There's a time when we come home and eat dinner with our families. There's a time when we lay down to go to sleep. Those are all pivotal points throughout our day. Think about those key transitions throughout each day, how you could start building prayer into those pivot points as you transition from one thing to the next, from the start of the day to the end of your day, and build prayer around those things. Number four, focus on a short time of prayer. I think some of us get intimidated when we see this command to pray unceasingly, and we think, man, when we pray, we have to have long, drawn-out conversations with God. That's just not true. There's nowhere in Scripture where we're commanded to pray for a certain length of time. Now, I think there ought to be times built into our prayer life where we spend more time with God than at others, and early in the morning's that time for me when I just spend more concentrated, focused prayer time with the Lord. But the rest of my time throughout the day, it's not like that. I don't go to God with dissertations to explain something to Him. I'm not spending an hour or more in prayer to God. Actually, my prayers are short prayers consisting of a couple of minutes or a few more minutes than that. Listen, there's no prayer-o-meter that goes off in heaven if Tyler Duell just has 2 minutes at lunchtime to stop and bow his head and pray to God. The angels don't say, Jesus, is that going to be acceptable? That doesn't happen to him, to me, to any of you. God just wants us to connect. God just wants us to think about Him. God just wants us to be in fellowship with Him through prayer. Short prayers are good. They're helpful. So schedule those kind of prayers throughout your day at those transition points to help you learn to pray constantly. Number five, use things to remind you to pray. How many of you carry one of these with you all the time? Got a cell phone. All of us do practically. You know what? These cell phones, they have basically anything you want, any kind of app that you want to use. You can download. They've got timers built into them. You know, you can set up on your phone a timer to go off to remind you, hey, you know what? You're trying to build prayer into your life throughout the day. Remember, you need to pray at 9 o'clock today, as soon as you get to work. Or maybe you need to write yourself a note and you leave it on the table when you get up in the morning. Or there's a scripture where maybe it's this scripture. You write on a note card and you put it out somewhere where you can see it and you're memorizing this passage and you're letting the Spirit use that to trigger this call to constant prayer. Whatever you need to do, maybe you even have your spouse touch base with you, send you a text message that says, hey, don't forget, you're working on becoming someone who's going to pray constantly throughout the day. So use something to remind you to stop and pray. And then last of all this morning, this sixth practical step, and this is really easy. Just invite God into everything you do. To pray without ceasing is really just this call to fellowship with God all day long. Live with that awareness that God wants to be a part of everything that you and I are doing throughout a day. We all are busy most days with various things packed into our schedules. So whatever it is, say, God, I really want you to be a part of this today. Maybe it's waiting in a line. You know, it's a great time when you're just waiting in a line. Some of us, if we went to the stores this past week during the winter storm, that was an awesome time to just go to God in prayer because the lines were so long. It's a great time to just say, hey, God, you know what? I see this person over here. I don't know anything about them, but you know, I know you love them. I don't know if they're connected to a church or not. I don't know if they've ever heard the gospel. I want to pray for them that the gospel will reach them. And if they've got any needs, Lord, will you please provide for their needs? Or maybe you're not waiting in a line, but you're driving on the road. I remember in college driving back and forth from Truman, Arkansas to Jonesboro. To Arkansas State, that was a time of prayer for me in the car, and I just had great communion with the Lord. Maybe you're doing chores around the house before you get started, or maybe even while you're doing them, just start talking to God. Maybe there's Thanksgiving you want to give to Him during that time, or maybe you want to make the time when you're doing chores around the house, the time when you intercede for others in the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ who you know have needs. And you want God to help meet those needs. Maybe there's a tough conversation you're going to have at work. Don't just go into that conversation on your own. Man, spend some time before you go into that meeting connecting with God, asking Him for wisdom, asking Him to bring peace, asking Him to give you understanding and the other party understanding. Maybe it's just a pleasant walk you're going to be taking in the park, or you're going to have some time at the park with your kids. That's a wonderful time just to look around at God's creation and just to spend time praising Him and thanking Him for all of the good things that He has done. Whatever it is, just take time to include God in what you're doing. That will help you, that will help me to become someone who prays constantly. I want you to turn as we wrap up this morning to Hebrews chapter 4. Paul calls us to be a people who pray constantly. He tells us we need to take this seriously. I've explained some steps on how we can get there, hopefully, to becoming this kind of Christian who's constantly in fellowship with God through prayer. And I want to close with a passage in the book of Hebrews. None of us, if we were to take a trip to Washington, D.C., to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, none of us are going to be able to walk up to the door of the White House and have a conversation with the most powerful man in the United States of America anytime we want to. Just not going to happen. We're not going to get past security to even get up to the door to talk to Joe Biden. Yet, I want you to think on this. The Bible tells us anytime, anywhere, any situation, we can talk to the most powerful one in all of the universe. When we pray. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Anytime, anywhere, any situation, we can enter into the throne room of heaven above to not the throne of judgment, but the throne of grace, where we can find favor and help from God anytime. We're told we can do that. And the reason we can do that, I want you to look in verses 14 and 15. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. The reason that we as Christians can talk to God anytime is because of what God has done for us in Christ. He sent his Son into the world, his perfect Son, who lived a sinless life, and he paid the penalty for our sins by going to the cross to be judged on the cross for us, to pay the penalty for all of our wrongdoings, and to go through hell on the cross so that at the judgment seat of God one day, we would not be cast away from God's presence to an everlasting hell. Jesus went through all of that for us to remove the dividing wall, the partition between us and God, so that we could have access to him, to all who will turn from their sin and trust in him, become a follower of Jesus. See, here's the truth of the Bible. No man can pray. No man can go before God at any time unless he has a relationship with God through Christ. See, the Bible tells us that if we regard sin in our hearts, God will not hear us. And the person who's not come to Christ for cleansing constantly regards sin in his or her heart and is separate from God. But there is good news this morning. If there's anyone here or anyone who is watching online and you've never turn from your sin and trust it in Christ to receive that forgiveness so that you can have a relationship with God that you can experience through prayerful communion from this day forward to the end of your life. That is freely offered to all of us on the atoning work of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you want to know what it means more to follow Christ, we're going to have ministers up front. We're going to be willing to answer any questions you have in pointing you to a saving relationship with Jesus. But I want you to understand, because so many people misunderstand this today, we can't pray to God if we don't know Christ Jesus and have a relationship with God through Christ. And we want you today to know the forgiveness of sins and that gift of abundant and eternal life. And this morning, Lakeland, I want us to think about what Jesus went through for us, so that we can have this kind of constant communion. He went through hell on the cross to open up the door of heaven, the throne room of heaven, so that at any time, in any situation, in any place, we can pray and we can have an audience with God. Let's be a church that values what Christ has done for us by drawing near to God and praying constantly in Jesus Christ. Would you please bow with me this morning? Father, I thank you for this short but important command that Paul gives us. Lord, I'm on the journey to becoming a man of God who prays without ceasing. God, I know there's improvement that I need to make in my days in drawing nearer to you. God, throughout the whole of a day, Lord, will you work in my heart to make me that kind of man who values prayer, because I know that it means I get to spend time with you. And God, may we all realize that the more time we spend with you, it's going to radically change us, make us better husbands, better wives, better church members, better evangelists, better employees, better everything, sons and daughters, moms and dads, as we spend time with you. So God, make us to men and women of God here at Lakeland who will pray constantly. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning, someone watching online who hasn't given their life to Christ, God, will you call them to yourself this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.